Being a chef means keeping your cool in the kitchen. It's up, it's up. And with Resi Priority Notify and Global Dining Access through my Amex Platinum card,
right this way,
it's nice to try someone else's food for a change. That's the powerful backing of American Express. Terms apply. Learn more at americanexpress.com/withAmex.
What if AI could help your business deliver mission-critical outcomes with speed? With IBM Consulting, your business can design, build, and scale trusted AI using Watson X, and modernize the way you work to accelerate real impact. Let's create AI that transforms your business. Learn more at ibm.com/consulting. IBM. Let's create.
AT&T connects an ode to podcasts. Connect the alarm. Change the podcast you stream. Connect the snooze. 10 more minutes to dream. Connect the shower. Lather up with the news. Sports talk, comedians, or movie reviews. Connect with that 3-hour philosophy show. Change the drive into work in traffic so slow. Connect the dishes to voices that glow. Thank you to the geniuses of spoken audio. Connect the stories. Change your perspective. Connecting changes everything. AT&T.
You are listening to The Dan Patrick Show on Fox Sports Radio.
Orlando Brown Jr., Super Bowl champ, offensive tackle for the Chiefs. 4 Pro Bowls in 5 seasons in the NFL. Kind enough to join us before the big day, the big parade. What's the schedule today, Orlando?
Man, right now I'm starting my morning off with you. We'll head up to the stadium around 9:30. I think we leave the stadium around 10:30. I think the parade starts sometime around then. Man, I'm looking forward to it.
Teammate most likely to be drinking now is who?
that's a really good question. Creed Humphrey for sure.
Okay. I would have thought Kelce.
Yeah, he's probably up there, but Creed Humphrey for sure.
The lineman on one float. Do you guys?
Yes, we are. Yeah, we are. Yep. I think every position group's got their own situation. So I'm pretty sure we got our own little trolley or whatever they call it, double decker.
Now, do you bring your own drink or is it supplied for you?
That's a good question, too. I do know that Creed's got some Boulevard beer for us, which is super popular here in Kansas City. I'll probably have my own bottle of something with me as well.
Okay, I don't want you walking out like Tom Brady did when they had that boat parade, okay, where it looked like he was seasick and he had his tequila and he threw the trophy. So just be careful there. Pace yourself.
It won't be anything crazy for me like that.
The Super Bowl party, how would you describe it?
Oh, man, super cool, man. It was super cool. Like, you know, obviously it's a once-in-a-lifetime opportunity to even play in the game, let alone win it. And, you just felt that energy, honestly, all week. And, man, it was so gratifying, you know, to get that win. Gosh, man, it was truly special.
All right, take me into halftime. What was said at halftime?
Yeah, at halftime, man, it was a clear message, you know, hey, we got to go take this. And if we want to win this game to beat this really good football team, we're going to have to go take it. And, I mean, man, that was communicated from the moment we sat down in there through all of the leaders, through Coach Reed, through Coach EB, you know, understanding the circumstances, man, that this is a really good football team. And the margin of error in any game is super slim. And against a team in the Super Bowl like that we just played, the margin of error was even smaller. And, they turned the ball over once and still only lost by 3 points.
Okay, wait a minute. You're missing – you're not letting us in on the biggest message that Andy Reid said to you guys about Rihanna.
Y'all heard about the Rihanna story?
Yes.
What did he say? He said, if you want to watch Rihanna, just keep on walking. I remember he said something like that. If you want to see Rihanna, just keep on walking. Coach Reed's the best, man.
Were guys trying to sneak out to see her perform?
No, they weren't. Yeah, that's just Coach Reed being Coach Reed.
The offensive line, we had heard about the offensive line. Obviously, what happened against Tampa Bay, and then that was the big question mark. And here's the Eagles. You know, they got all of these sacks, second most in NFL history in a season.
Yep.
How did you guys take that going into this Super Bowl as a group?
Yeah, man. I mean, you know, it showed up on film. I think they're definitely were the top unit this year as far as rushing the passer, top to bottom. They did an amazing job all year creating one-on-ones. Hassan Reddick had a great year rushing the passer as well. And they got a really good system, great coverage schemes, the way that they mix things up. Their DC did a really good job of all of that. We knew we were going to have our hands full. But, man, the understanding in our offensive line room is we set a really high standard individually and collectively. And, man, going into that game, it was understood it was going to be on us. And, you know, something that I spoke about to the guys on Saturday was, you know, pressure is a privilege. You know, we heard all the talk about the 85 Bears and how similar this defensive front is and all of those different things about what they've got and all that. But at the end of the day, man, I think the tougher team and the more physical team won.
What did you say after the game? No sacks? Zero sacks?
Put it on the T-shirt.
Put it on a bleeping T-shirt, I think is what you said.
That's exactly what I said.
Why didn't Mahomes bring you to Disney World, the entire group, the offensive line?
Yeah. Man, honestly, Pat does so much for us, man. That's probably the one thing I didn't necessarily want to do. I enjoyed spending time with my family, not having to wake up at 6 a.m. to catch a flight to L.A.
Yeah, and what's that feeling like when you give up a sack and Mahomes is there on the ground? Like, do you say anything?
Yeah, I mean, you know, like, as an offensive lineman, it's that's obviously the worst thing that can happen to us. And, you know, for an old lineman, man, to give up a sack, period, it's always a super uncomfortable feeling. And, man, especially don't let it be on third down or 2 minute or in the game. I mean, I can't tell you how bad of a feeling that is. But normally I just kind of let him know, you know what I mean? Or, you know, or he'll say something to me like, hey, that's on me. I was drifting. I was floating. It was coverage. Or he'll be like, block your guy.
We're talking to Orlando Brown Jr., Super Bowl champ, offensive tackle for the Chiefs. How bad was that field?
Yeah, you know what? It was pretty bad, I would say. I didn't slip any at all. Like, maybe I had one rep where I kind of slid sitting on a bull rush. But, man, it was super soft. It was kind of like it was soft, like a very soft surface. You know, your cleat marks were clear in the ground and all of that. I mean, man, I personally didn't have to wear my 7 studs. I don't think it affected my game at all. But I know people on the other side of the ball seemed to be affected.
How many pairs of shoes, different shoes, did you bring to the Super Bowl?
I always bring 3 cleats. I've honestly never had a cleat malfunction, but you know, I'm real weird about my uniform malfunctions. So I always at least keep 3 of everything.
What are you going to do with your Super Bowl uniform?
Man, I've got it here. I'm going to hang it up. I've got all my cleats from each game in this playoff series. I got my jersey, my uniform, have my helmet. Then I'm going to hang everything up and get it all framed.
Awesome. Explain the Lane Johnson move that he has off the ball, his get off. Is that legal?
Yeah, definitely. Definitely. I feel like it's legal. You know, so often you hear, you know, fans talk about or announcers talk about offensive linemen false starting. We want a false start here. We want this. I mean, listen, man, you're going against guys on the other side of the ball, especially when you're on silent cadence, You're going against guys that are trying to use the snap count against you, that run 4.6s or below, that are great athletes, that are super long. And the way that Lane Johnson plays, he likes to beat guys to the spot. And his style of play is basically manipulating you by creating more space and allowing you to think that, oh, you have the inside, oh, you have the outside.
Well, why don't more guys do it?
Because, I mean, Lane Johnson is one of the most elite players to ever play the position. His fundamentals, his athleticism, his length, his arms, his punch, I mean, top to bottom, I mean, he's one of the best to ever do it. And it's not necessarily anything that can be mimicked. You know what I mean? It's not necessarily, in my opinion, a coach technique. You know what I mean? This is a Lane Johnson style of play. That's why very rarely do you see guys of his with his ability. And, I mean, you could say that about all the top guys. You know what I mean? Trent Williams, Laremy Tunsil, Lane Johnson, Tristan Wirfs, all four of those guys, I mean, all their games are so different.
Help me understand the Eric Bieniemy offensive coordinator position. Is he calling the plays? I'm trying to figure this out, Orlando. That here we are again, Eric Bieniemy may have to leave to be an OC someplace else to show that he can be an offensive coordinator, which I think that's his job title in Kansas City. What am I missing?
Yeah, man, personally, man, it's like, it sucks because I got a lot of respect for Coach EB, and, you know, I'm pretty sure he calls the plays. And, man, you know, and in KC, it is a collective effort, I feel like, with as far as maybe what gets installed. But I know him and Coach Reed somewhere in there, like, the plays are being called, you know, through EB on the headset. And, man, it's unfortunate, you know, that so many of these opportunities have come up over the years and he hasn't been able to, you know, get a head coaching job. And, you know, it's come to the point where, oh, it's Patrick Mahomes and he's under Coach Reed, so we don't really know what he's capable of. And, you know, man, it's unfortunate, you know, the business side of things for him. But I feel as though, man, if he were to go somewhere else, if he were to become a head coach, were to become an OC somewhere else, I mean, he's going to have a ton of success.
Yeah, hopefully he gets an opportunity. Make sure you protect Mahomes today too, okay? It's not just in the game. You got to protect him, you know, make sure nothing happens to him.
I hear you. I'll try.
Have a good time, and congratulations, Orlando. Thanks for joining us.
Yep, thank y'all so much. Appreciate you having me on.
Thanks for listening to the Dan Patrick Show podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weekday morning, 9 to noon Eastern, or 6 to 9 Pacific on Fox Sports Radio. Find your local station for the Dan Patrick Show at foxsportsradio.com. Or stream us live every day on the iHeartRadio app by searching FSR. Or stream us live on the Peacock app.
This is it. We've got an Amex Platinum Pro on our hands, ladies and gentlemen. We haven't seen anyone relax like this before in the Centurion Lounge. Is he connecting to complimentary Wi-Fi? Oh, my. Look at that. He is. And you will not believe where he's going next. The Amex dedicated card member entrance for the win. Unbelievable.
When you get travel perks with Amex Platinum, you're part of the action. That's the powerful backing of American Express. Terms apply. Learn more at americanexpress.com/withAmex.
The original light beer, 1975. Miller Lite.
Yeah, the original.
Yeah, 1975. Perfect companion for us grill masters across the United States. This past weekend. Even Mother's Day. I'm treating myself while I'm treating my wife for Mother's Day. Out there cooking, and I've got my Miller Lite, my friend, right there with me. Miller Lite keeps it simple. Undebatable quality. You can't debate it.
I would try it.
No, you can't. Taste as great as the barbecue you're making. The beer that strips away everything you don't need and holds on to what matters most. It tastes like a beer. Less filling. Only 96 calories. With a Miller Lite in hand, grilling doesn't just taste great, it tastes like Miller time. To get Miller Lite delivered to your door, visit MillerLite.com/Patrick, or you can find it pretty much anywhere that sells great beer. Celebrate responsibly. Miller Brewing Company, Milwaukee, Wisconsin, 96 calories per 12 ounces.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Signing up and playing is so easy. Simply sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you can get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matter more than ever. Place your moneyline, prop, and parlay bets with a king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets. If you don't win your first bet, that's right, up to $1,500. Again, sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park. That's 1-800-GAMBLER.
Steve Palazzolo, our good buddy, Pro Football Focus senior analyst, co-host of Pro Football Focus NFL podcast. Good to see you again. Have you guys chopped up the Super Bowl and given out grades?
Yeah, we have. Yeah, it was we do it live pretty much and then review it the next day. So we get the grades out there, and the quarterbacks were as good as I think they looked, right? Jalen Hurts and Patrick Mahomes, two of the best players on the field, and the grades reflected that.
Okay, who had a higher grade between those two?
We had Hurts with a slight edge in his overall grade. Obviously, he had the worst play with the fumble, and Mahomes didn't really make a ton of mistakes, but Hurts had more special plays, right? Some of those downfield throws, and some of his best throws were incomplete. The Devontae Smith pass down the field that gets dropped or just ends up incomplete after the review. Some nice tight window double coverage tight window throws to Dallas Goedert. Another one on third down after avoiding the blitz. So Jalen Hurts was awesome in that game, and I think we're going to forget it though because you know the Chiefs won.
But it could lead to a big contract extension because I don't know if people had questions. Do you have questions now after what you saw with Jalen Hurts? If you were with the Eagles and you were going to be handing out that check to him, would you have any issue giving him $45 million a year?
Maybe 45. It's going to be fascinating. I would say the Eagles did such a good job building their team this past offseason because Jalen Hurts was on that first contract. It allowed them to go get A.J. Brown. It allows them to bring in a James Bradbury. They're going to lose a bunch in free agency this year. And it's going to be difficult to replace those guys because, you know, Jalen Hurts is due the next big contract. So I do think he ends up in that $40 million range. And I do think the Super Bowl does go a long way to, you know, instilling confidence in what he could do going forward.
If the Jets called you and said, give us the best quarterback that you guys have graded that makes the most sense for the Jets, who would you recommend?
If you're willing to make the 1 to 2 year investment, I think it has to be Aaron Rodgers. You know, I mean, the other option would be Lamar Jackson. If you want to trade with the Ravens, if they end up franchise tagging him and you're going to give up 2 ones, I think the first option would be Lamar Jackson just because you could lock him up long term. But I have to go Aaron Rodgers over the other alternatives, you know, the Derek Carrs of the world, the Jimmy Garoppolos. I think Rodgers probably still gives you that best 1 to 2 year option opportunity to win it. And you're in an AFC East that has Josh Allen and the Bills, right? Already has the Dolphins with their explosive offense. I don't think status quo at quarterback is going to do it for the Jets.
Yeah, I said I would rather have Derek Carr on the Jets because I don't think they're ready to – I think they're ready to compete now, and maybe they're going to be a playoff team. But – I don't want the Aaron Rodgers, you're going to play for 1 year, I don't know about the next year, because I look at this as probably a 3 year window for the Jets where they can be really competitive given the weapons that they have. I don't want it to go 2 steps forward and then 2 steps back with Aaron Rodgers in 2 years, and then we got to look for another quarterback.
No, I completely get it. It's just such a fascinating time in the NFL though, right? Like when you have a guy like Derek Carr who is, you know, quarterback 11 to 15, depending on how you want to rank them, right? He's in that range. What a fascinating time where the NFL, there's a team that wants to move on from Derek Carr, but there's other teams who think Derek Carr is going to be the savior, right? That's what happened with Jared Goff with the Rams, right? The Rams had to move on from Jared Goff, who took them to a Super Bowl. Yeah. The Niners did everything to move on from Jimmy Garoppolo, who took them to a Super Bowl. But for other teams, those guys are great. So 3 years from now, the Jets might, if they had Derek Carr, they might be saying, oh, we want the next, you know, the next guy that's going to, you know, be better than Carr.
But what about the Saints with Derek Carr?
I think the NFC South might be a little bit different. I think every NFC South team has been rumored to be looking at Derek Carr because they're all saying, well, Tom Brady retired. The Bucs weren't that good this year anyway. We could go win the division, right? I mean, teams still look at the short term and say, Derek Carr, if he steps into that division, might be the best quarterback there, where he was the fourth best quarterback on paper, you know, coming into the season in the AFC West. So I think it might be a little bit different for a team like the Saints that is always always in credit card debt when it comes to the salary cap. They're much more willing to make that type of take that type of investment in a Derek Carr.
It was strange going into this season that Patrick Mahomes wasn't an all-pro the previous year, and it felt like he cooled off a little bit. Then you had the Tyreek Hill trade. It felt like defenses were playing a little softer, keeping everything in front. Josh Allen love, Joe Burrow here, Justin Herbert. And we kind of forgot about Mahomes, and that's almost like forgetting about LeBron or Steph Curry. Why was it? You know, why do you think that that we sort of moved on from Mahomes or forgot about him?
Well, because a year ago, we did see Mahomes' worst season. You just described it. And not only that, but an epic collapse in the AFC Championship, right? They were dominant in the first half against the Bengals last year, but we have never seen Mahomes collapse the way he did in the AFC Championship. Fumbles, interceptions that may not have been his fault, but just not leading the comebacks that he normally does, not making that game-winning drive. It was his worst season, right? So understandably, then you lose Tyreek Hill. And it was a fair question to say, how much of Mahomes' production is Tyreek Hill plus Travis Kelce plus Andy Reid in the system? But I think you have to hand it to Mahomes, much like a Tom Brady through the years. Brady played in different systems with different personnel, and they always won, and they were always productive. Mahomes did that this year, right? He did it in a different style. It was a quick passing game. It wasn't the explosive plays down the field. He showed the patience. He adjusted to the league. A huge part in Mahomes' career right now, in a year five as a starter, to just win in a different way. So I understand why people may have doubted him a little bit, but I think he just answered all the questions and said, nope, I'm elite. I'm the top guy, and I'm still here.
Steve Palazzolo, he is the senior analyst for Pro Football Focus. How bad was Russell Wilson's season?
I mean, by far, the worst of his career. He was one of the worst quarterbacks in the NFL by our grading system and pretty much any stat that you use. But I think that the really difficult part, too, is when you go back to about the middle of 2020. Remember, he was having that incredible season on pace to break the touchdown record. Middle of 2020, though, things fell apart. 2021, he was okay, but then he gets hurt, wasn't good after the injury, and then last year was not good. So we're talking about almost a year's worth of games right now where Russell Wilson's been a bottom third quarterback. So it wasn't just this year. It was kind of the few years before that coming. So we'll see what Sean Payton can do with him, but it certainly hasn't been great for the last 32 games or so of Russell Wilson's career.
You get enough of a sample size with Brock Purdy to sign off on him as the starter in San Francisco?
To sign off as starter, absolutely, just because, you know, the first-year contract type of stuff, we hear that a lot when you have a cheap quarterback, and it's Purdy in this system with Kyle Shanahan. Not to take anything away from Purdy, he was excellent, but Kyle Shanahan has about a 15-year track record of elevating every single quarterback that he's played with from a production standpoint. They've all played better, including when he had Matt Ryan, the best quarterback that Kyle Shanahan's ever had. Matt Ryan almost breaks the league, 9 yards per attempt, wins MVP. So I think a lot of it's the playmakers and in the play calling in San Francisco, but Purdy was excellent running that offense as a seventh-round rookie, which is really impressive.
What about Kyler Murray's grade? And I know we have to factor in the injury, and is he going to even be ready for this next season?
Yeah, so he was on this perfect trajectory of getting better every year. His first three seasons, it looked like he had peaked. He peaked in his third year, and this year he took a big step back. I don't know how much of it was not having DeAndre Hopkins for the first seven games, but Kyler had the highest percentage of big-time throws in the league in 2021, our highest-graded throws, those special throws down the field. He was among the worst this year, so he wasn't pushing the ball down the field at the same level. His grade fell back to about league average, a little bit below league average this year. So a lot of questions with Kyler, and we might not even see him for the majority of next season because of the injury. So it was him progressing every single season, but definitely took a big step back here in 2022.
The Bears situation, you're on the clock with the number one pick, and you have Justin Fields already. How did Pro Football Focus grade out Justin Fields, and what would you do with that number one pick?
So we graded him as a below average passer, but unbelievable runner, right? Exactly what we saw on the field. I've always thought he has the passing ability, so there's so much potential there with Justin Fields. I do think the Bears should be doing their due diligence on Bryce Young and the other quarterbacks. Bryce Young in particular, he's the number one quarterback on the PFF draft board. I do think you have to weigh taking Bryce Young at one and potentially trading Justin Fields. I think that's option number one, potentially, if they like Bryce Young enough.
What would you do?
I would take Bryce Young, and I would look to trade Justin Fields. I mean, that's my first option. If I have a good enough market for Justin Fields, the second option is trade down and say, okay, we have to play up to the Colts and the fact that they're desperate, the Panthers, that they're desperate, the Raiders, maybe even the Texans at two. So you have to trade down. I think the worst thing the Bears can do is draft a non-quarterback. The worst thing they could do is sit at one, draft a Will Anderson from Alabama, draft a Jalen Carter from Georgia. They have to maximize this first overall pick either with a fresh rookie quarterback or with multiple draft picks to restructure that entire roster.
Great stuff as always, Steve. Thank you for your contributions this entire NFL season. All the great folks at Pro Football Focus, thank you.
You got it. Thanks, Dan.
Thanks for listening to the Dan Patrick Show podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weekday morning, 9 until noon Eastern, 6 to 9 Pacific on Fox Sports Radio. And you can find us on the iHeartRadio app at FSR or stream us live on the Peacock app.
Hi, this is Jay Glazer, and you may know me from the world of football or fighting or even shows like HBO's Ballers. What you don't know is for my entire life, I have lived in something I refer to as the gray. Depression, anxiety. So now I'm coming out with a new podcast, Unbreakable, a mental health podcast with Jay Glazer, where each week, while we talk about mental health, I hope to describe it, give it words. Listen to Unbreakable with Jay Glazer on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
There's no distance too far for the perfect trip.
Hi, checking in for...
Or the perfect table.
Hey, where are you?
Coming!
And when you get access to Resi Priority Notify with your Amex Platinum card...
Hey, this looks amazing!
I'm so glad you made it.
And travel benefits at fine hotels and resorts booked through Amex Travel. It's worth the trip. That's the powerful backing of American Express. Terms apply. Learn more at americanexpress.com/withAmex.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Signing up and playing is so easy. Simply sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you can get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matter more than ever. Place your moneyline, prop, and parlay bets with a king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets. If you don't win your first bet, that's right, up to $1,500. Again, sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park. That's 1-800-GAMBLER.
LASIK, LASIK.com.
Have a ton of questions about LASIK? You're not alone. That's why we created LASIK.com. One place where you can go to find every answer to every question on your mind. Like, how much does LASIK cost? How long does recovery take? How do I find a doctor? If you've been thinking about LASIK, go to LASIK.com now. Yeah, LASIK.com. Easy to remember, so you know where to start.
LASIK, LASIK.com.
Paulie just sent me the catch rule, the catch language, the official language here. Do I want to do this? Do I want to burden this audience and go over the catch, completed catch or intercepted?
Well, if it bothers people, this is the time to say something to maybe ever have it changed. The offseason.
Okay. A player who makes a catch may advance the ball. A forward pass is complete by the offense or intercepted by the defense in the field of play at the sideline or in the end zone if a player who is inbound secures control of the ball in his hands or arms prior to the ball touching the ground, and B, touches the ground inbounds with both feet or any part of his body other than his hands, and C, after A and B have been fulfilled, performs any act common to the game, i.e., tuck the ball away, extend it forward, take an additional step, turn upfield or avoid or ward off an opponent, or he maintains control of the ball long enough to do so.
So, for example, that dump pass to Miles Sanders of the Eagles.
Yes.
He caught it, 2 feet were in, he quickly turns upfield, and then he got hit by Snead, the ball comes out. That the rule there is he maintains control of the ball long enough to do so. Why throw that in there?
But it says, extend it forward, take an additional step, turn upfield, or avoid or ward off an opponent. Maintain. See, that to me was a fumble with Sanders. I mean, if you have 2 feet, you have the ball, and you turn upfield, your third step now is important? Okay, then that was a fumble. Yes, Paulie.
Here's my new version. Let's make catching much more easy. And instead of adding language to make great catches deemed ineligible, let's do the opposite. You need 2 feet in. Some people want 1 foot in like college. How about 2 feet in and you prevent the ball from hitting the ground? And nothing out of bounds matters. Once the player exits the field and steps out of bounds, it's like a movie going to black. because why would any actions out of bounds factor with inbounds? I know you're saying.
I agree.
Because remember Santonio Holmes, when he caught that one in the end zone, you were there. He tapped the toes, right? He went to the ground. If you watch him hit the ground, the ball's moving. Now, that rule wasn't in place back when Santonio Holmes did it, but imagine if that play was somehow called dead because of Santonio Holmes 3 yards out of bounds. He never let it hit the ground, but it was shifting in his gut area.
Well, there are two calls where the NFL lost me. Like I just was really disappointed. Calvin Johnson's touchdown, he got up to celebrate. And then they go, that's not a touchdown. And I went, oh, boy, we're not headed in a good direction. And Dez Bryant at Lambeau. Like, those were embarrassing. Where you're just going, let's just apply common sense here. How about that? That's a catch. He tried to score a touchdown. He did catch it. Maybe you don't give him the touchdown, but give him the catch. Sorry, Cowboy fans, but this still bothers me. And the Calvin Johnson, did he complete the process? They keep adding language, not subtracting. That's why the NFL finds itself in this conundrum. They're like, man, everybody complains about the officials because you put them in a position where it's so complicated. Devontae Smith caught the ball in the Super Bowl. He went out of bounds. Did he maintain? I don't care what he does out of bounds. Yes. Yeah,
but isn't the reason that they're adding all this language because of those incidents? What is and what isn't a catch? Like, I think that they make it worse.
It's more complicated.
It is more complicated, but
they doubled down. I think the problem.
I think everybody would admit. I think even the league would admit that they got those two calls wrong. Right, Calvin Johnson, that was a catch. Dez Bryant, that was a catch, 100%. But I think from their point of view, there has to be a point in the process that it becomes a catch, because you say as soon as the ball crosses the goal line, it's a touchdown, right?
Yeah.
But as soon as the ball hits the receiver's two hands and they have 2 feet in, then it instantly becomes a catch, or do they actually have to catch it? You know what I'm saying? There has to be a moment where they have control of the ball and they bring it in. Something
but not
that demonstrate,
to the ground.
Demonstrates
but,
control.
But not to the ground. Devontae Smith going to the ground. Then we put in something that shouldn't have anything to do with it. It's just, did you catch that ball in bounds? Yes, he did. What happened when he went out of bounds? Well, he jostled the ball a little bit. I don't care about
when
that.
When did he catch the ball in bounds, though?
Well, they have to decide. They'll look at that. They'll go, yeah, he's got it.
Right, but that's why they're putting in all of this language to give them sort of a checklist of saying, like, okay, yeah, they did these 3-4 things, and that means it was a catch.
They doubled down to make themselves right. Like, they complete the process. No, there's no completing the process. That's where a lawyer goes, you know, they've got to complete the process. All right, put that in there. If you went through history would change in the NFL if you applied today's rules to what happened back then. If they go, that's not a catch. You know, Franco Harris, I don't know, did that ball, I don't know if that's a catch. Like, come on.
But everything else in the game has been skewed in the offense's favor.
Yes.
Except for this one thing. You have to make sure that you have control of the ball all the way down.
Well,
it's this one thing that they're making slightly more complicated that's really just a checklist of let's try to get this as right as possible. It's the only thing in the game that's made slightly more difficult for an offensive player.
Well, I'm not worried about the offensive player. I'm worried about the viewer, the fan, who's trying to understand this. And that is that a catch? Yes. Is that not a catch? Yes. Do you have control when he had it, in the field of play? Yes. It's just, Mike Pereira disagreed with the call on Devontae Smith. And he's ref friendly. And he's going, they're spending so much time that they were looking, like it wasn't obvious. If it's supposed to be obvious, then it should take you seconds. Like, yeah, obviously. It's like, I don't know, can I see another? Okay, we're going to reverse it. Never should have been reversed. There wasn't enough evidence there. Yes, Tom.
I agree with Paulie as far as once the play, you got both feet in, the play is over. Who cares about what's happening out of bounds? Because if you have to somehow complete the catch, while and they're looking at what happened to you out of bounds, then you should be able to complete a tackle out of bounds and not call late hit out of bounds. When you're in the process of tackling someone, then finish him off while he's going out of bounds, because it matters about catching the ball while you're out of bounds.
Yes, sir.
So if you have 2 feet in and you catch the ball, but you fall out of bounds and drop it,
yeah,
right, that shouldn't count.
No, it should.
But if you have... Oh, so it shouldn't be a catch then?
No.
I thought we were saying what happens out of bounds doesn't count.
No, it should be a catch.
So it should be a catch. But if you're in the middle of the field and you have 2 feet down and you catch the ball and fall and hit the ground and drop it, is that also still a catch?
No.
So why is is out of bounds is a catch, but inbounds isn't a catch then at that point? You know what I mean? It's the exact same action. It's the exact same motions, everything.
No, the whistle blows. If I catch the ball and I go out of bounds, then the play is dead. If I'm in the field of play and I catch the ball and then I drop it, if I had it, then it might be a fumble. So the whistle's not going to blow on that. So it might be a fumble, might be an incompleted pass. I don't want out of bounds to cause an incompletion. That's the only thing I'm saying here, that Devontae Smith made that catch and they didn't have enough evidence to overturn it. And they did. And Mike Pereira said in the moment, they're looking. It shouldn't be that difficult. If it is, overturn it.
Yeah, clear and obvious doesn't take this long.
Yes, and that was the point I was trying to make. I just think it adds another layer for the referees to try to, you know, come up with this in real time. And that's the problem. We've made their job so difficult because we keep adding language here. And that's the problem I have. And as a fan, I just want to watch it and go, that was a catch. Not the, I don't know if he's the nose of the football. Go back to Dez Bryant. Try to explain Dez Bryant. He can't. Caught it, couple of steps, tried to score a touchdown, incomplete pass. Horrible. Embarrassing. Calvin Johnson, touchdown, getting up to celebrate, drops the ball. Didn't complete the process. Yeah, Paul.
I want to go back to some of the other rules. David Tyree's helmet catch with Eli Manning, he had the ball against the side of his helmet. Mm. Now, remember when he fell down and Rodney's trying to take it out? The ball almost hits the turf on the back of his head. It didn't, but it was very close. According to the rule, if that ball would have touched the turf and assisted him in any way because he didn't have two hands control,
sure,
that play might have been waved off.
No, I could see where it would be.
Easily if it would touch the ground.
Because they would say, well, it was moving.
But if it depends on if it moved when it touched the ground. If it didn't move and touch the ground, they would call it a catch.
According to the rule, a receiver, if they're getting help from the ground before they've had control, having one hand against your helmet, I bet they would have said that's not control of the ball and may have waved that one off. Mm. I look at it like this. I look at the rule should be somewhere like catching a baby from a burning building. I caught the baby, I'm tripping, it's moving up and down, I don't have it. But if I prevent the baby from hitting the ground, I'm the winner. You know, that. You know, if you prevent the ball from dropping out of your hands and hitting the ground, let's make that a catch. I don't know if they're going to use that language, Commissioner, the burning baby.
Yeah.
You know, burning building baby rule.
Yes, Mark.
New poll question. What do you love talking about more, this or any list?
Wow. I would say I despise list. Like this is, you know, once a year we might bring this up. There's always, you know, a list coming out, you know, the top 100, you know, the list of great quarterbacks. Where's Mahomes on the list of great quarterbacks now? He's got to be number two. Is he three? Yes, Mark.
We're going to put a list of the top 10 lists that you hate.
At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. See for yourself when you sign up today and get $150 in bonus bets when you bet just $5. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment, it's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply.
With every CBD product claiming to do something different, it's nearly impossible to decide what's best for you. Lazarus Naturals pioneered the farm-to-front-door model of transparency where they handle each step of the production process to ensure quality, potency, and consistency. Scannable labels allow you to see the test results of your hemp batch so you can be confident in the safety and quality. Visit LazarusNaturals.com today. Lazarus Naturals, committed to improving your life as well as the world around you. Not available in Idaho, Iowa, or South Dakota.
Good sleep should come naturally, and with the new Natural Hybrid mattress, it can. A collaboration between Lisa and West Elm, the Natural Hybrid is expertly crafted from natural latex, natural wool, and certified safe foams to elevate your sleep sanctuary and support a greener tomorrow. Plus, every purchase helps fuel Lisa's work with shelters and those in need. Don't put off a good night's sleep any longer. Get a Lisa mattress today for a sound sleep tonight. Visit lisa.com/iHeart. That's leesa.com/iHeart.